Welcome to the deep dive. If you are watching the rapidly evolving landscape of cannabis and hemp products, you know, from CBD to Delta 8, you've probably noticed the ground is, well, it's shifting under this multi-billion dollar industry. Today, we're diving into a legislative drama that, honestly, it reveals a pretty stunning truth.
Yeah.
The biggest fight for cannabis legalization isn't really against the old school prohibitionists anymore.
No.
It's an internal war. One regulated side is actively trying to legislate the other right out of existence.
It's incredible to see.
Our source material for this is an impassioned analysis. It's an op-ed called The Self-Inflicted Wound. Our mission here is to take a hard look at why the established state-legal marijuana market is attacking its less regulated cousin, the hemp industry.
And what that fight really tells us.
Exactly. What this toxic internal competition tells us about the future of achieving any kind of real, sane federal cannabis reform.
And what's so fascinating here is seeing how quickly legal progress can sort of mutate into economic protectionism.
Right.
The central argument in this piece is that the single greatest threat to the whole cannabis movement isn't external prohibition anymore. It's this internal warfare. And it's fueled by something the source calls regulatory jealousy.
Regulatory jealousy. And the trigger for this whole crisis is incredibly recent and very specific.
Super specific.
A provision was quietly slipped into a crucial government funding package signed by President Trump on November 12, 2025.
Yeah, and this is key. It wasn't a dedicated cannabis bill. You know, it wasn't debated on its own merits.
It was a Trojan horse hidden inside an essential must-pass piece of federal legislation.
Exactly. And the immediate impact is, I mean, it's nothing short of catastrophic for the current hemp market. This new law, it drastically redefines hemp.
How so?
It focuses heavily on the intoxicating nature of its derived products, and it institutes a near zero tolerance for any effects that can cause a high.
Okay, so for you listening, we really need to clarify what products are suddenly under the gun here.
Uh-huh.
We aren't just talking about some specialized oils, are we?
Oh, not at all. Far from it. The source estimates that this change, which goes into effect 1 year from that signing date.
So there's a clock ticking.
A very loud clock. It sets the stage for the federal prohibition of an estimated 95% of the current market.
95%. Wow.
Yeah. And this includes widely sold products like non-intoxicating CBD, but also the intoxicating cannabinoids like Delta 8 THC, which a lot of consumers will know as this psychoactive stuff that really flourished under that 2018 Farm Bill loophole.
And crucially, the new law also targets THCA. Hmm. Why is that specific acronym so important here?
Okay, so THCA stands for tetrahydrocannabinolic acid. It's the non-intoxicating precursor that you find in raw cannabis flower.
The raw plant itself.
Right. And when you heat it, so when you smoke or vape hemp flower, yeah, it converts into Delta 9 THC, which is the compound everyone associates with marijuana.
Got it.
By restricting THCA content to meet that near zero intoxicating effect limit, this law, it effectively makes almost all legal hemp flower, the agricultural product itself, federally prohibited once that clock runs out.
It kills the industry at the root.
At the very root.
Okay, let's unpack this with some historical context. The 2018 Farm Bill. I mean, that was celebrated as this historic breakthrough.
It was.
He created that first real crack in the wall of federal prohibition just by legalizing hemp based on its agricultural nature. That unlocked a nationwide industry almost instantly.
It was revolutionary, really, because that framework allowed a huge variety of these hemp-derived products to just bypass the punitive state-level systems.
So they didn't have to deal with all that red tape.
Exactly. These products could legally cross state lines. They could operate without the crippling hyper-regulation that defined the state legal marijuana market. This was, in a lot of words, a free market success story.
Built on a technicality, almost. An agricultural distinction.
A very important one, but yes.
But the entire system was balanced so precariously on this one arbitrary line.
Yeah.
The 0.3% Delta 9 THC limit. And this new legislative maneuver, it really shows that the state legal industry, instead of, you know, celebrating the hemp success, they're now weaponizing regulation against it.
Precisely. The op-ed sees this entire maneuver, which was pushed by, let's be clear, certain powerful elements of the state legal marijuana industry as a profound self-inflicted wound.
Right.
It proves that this fragmented state-by-state legalization model, which, you know, many people hoped would be a blueprint for national reform.
Yeah, that it would lead the way.
It's actually starting to look like a failure, one that's fueled by internal competition instead of a real commitment to broad public access or even just smart safety standards.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. Let's look at this smokescreen argument. The piece notes, the proponents of the ban and the source explicitly names powerful interests within the licensed marijuana industry.
They do.
They claim they are simply closing a loophole. They argue they're protecting the public from unregulated intoxicating products being sold in, you know, convenience stores and gas stations.
And that's the official line. That's the public-facing argument.
Right.
But the deeper, more cynical truth, at least according to this source material, is that this isn't primarily about public safety. It's fundamentally a fight of hyper-regulated cannabis against relatively free market cannabis.
Wait, but the proponents of the ban, they aren't entirely wrong, are they? I mean, if kids are getting easy access at unregulated gas stations, and if some products lack proper testing, doesn't the op-ed acknowledge that some kind of regulation is needed here?
Oh, 100%. It absolutely acknowledges that. But the argument is about what kind of regulation is actually required.
Okay.
The established marijuana industry isn't pushing for, you know, common sense consumer protection. They're pushing for the hemp industry to inherit their own financially crippling regulatory system.
Let's unpack that. That crippling burden that the licensed state-level marijuana businesses face, because the source really details this clearly, goes way beyond just standard business costs.
It really does. We are talking about massive, completely disproportionate barriers to entry, and they're justified by these antiquated fears left over from the days of prohibition.
Okay, like what?
Well, first, the financial barriers are just immense. You have exorbitant fees for licensing, for registration, that can run into the tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Just to open your door.
Just to get in the game. And then you have the security requirements, which, I mean, they sound like something out of a heist movie.
A heist movie, really?
Seriously. The regulatory system demands mandatory vault-like security systems. Just picture a typical convenience store that sells beer and lottery tickets.
Okay.
Now imagine that same store having to install like 2-foot-thick concrete walls, high-tech infrared surveillance covering every single angle, and mandatory security personnel on site 247.
Wow.
That is often the requirement for selling cannabis, and it adds this immense, totally unnecessary overhead.
And that immediately guarantees that only the really large corporate entities with massive capital reserves can participate.
Of course.
Not the small farmers, not independent processors, not the mom and pop shops.
Precisely. And then you layer that on top of punitive state and local tax structures that treat legal cannabis like a sin tax jackpot.
Which drives prices up.
Drives consumer prices sky high. And this prevents the legal market from effectively competing with the very black market it was created to eliminate in the first place.
Meanwhile, the hemp industry, using the farm bill, kind of accidentally proved a simple market-altering fact that you can sell quality, tested, intoxicating, and medicinal products without those wildly expensive vault-like security systems and these outrageous annual licensing fees.
They proved that 90% of the state regulations were just unnecessary overhead.
And that, according to the source, is the core of this jealousy factor.
That's it. Instead of taking that proof point that this excessive regulation is unnecessary and then lobbying to reduce their own burdens to make their industry more competitive and accessible.
Which seems like the logical thing to do.
You'd think so. But instead, the state legal marijuana industry chose to fight the hemp industry.
So their solution wasn't to push for a federal system that treats cannabis sensibly, you know, like alcohol.
Yeah.
Their chosen tactic was to push for legislation to make hemp look exactly like their own overly burdened, hyper-regulated industry.
Absolutely. The core message is brutal, and it's clear. It's, if we have to pay these outrageous prices for compliance, then you have to, too.
If we have to build vaults and hire security guards just to sell a plant, then so do you.
Exactly. And that isn't about public safety. That's about market consolidation disguised as regulatory compliance. They want the competition gone, or at the very least, financially crippled.
Okay, now, we do need to be balanced here. The piece doesn't let the hemp industry entirely off the hook.
No, it doesn't.
It admits that the rush to market allowed some bad actors, to create some very real public concerns, right?
Yes, and the analysis is quick to acknowledge that nuance. The critics of hemp, they did have valid points.
Like what specifically?
Well, we saw irresponsible companies using egregious, sometimes, cartoonish packaging that was clearly targeting young people.
Right, I've seen some of that.
There were instances of companies making dubious, unsubstantiated health promises, and critically, a failure to conduct rigorous, independent third-party testing to make sure the product was clean and accurately labeled.
Okay, so these are legitimate failures.
Yeah.
But the key insight here seems to be about enforcement, not about prohibition.
Exactly. The source suggests the correct solution to these bad actors isn't a total prohibition that destroys the entire market and all the ethical businesses in it.
So what's the fix?
The simple fix is just enforcing basic science-backed consumer protection rules.
Yeah.
Rules that should have been put in place by local and state entities from the start.
Things like clear labeling, testing standards.
And packaging that doesn't target children. It's basic consumer safety. It's the same rules we apply to supplements, to food, to alcohol.
So the failure to apply that simple common sense enforcement is why we're now facing this catastrophic ban threat. The piece argues that the expensive, exclusive legal marijuana model was the root cause, not the hemp loophole itself.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this entire episode is just a tragic result of internal warfare where both industries are facing existential threats, all while federal prohibition is still the default setting.
Yeah.
The focus should have always been on full legalization, not fighting over who gets to keep the regulatory crown jewels.
So this one-year legislative battle is being framed as the hemp industry's chance to survive. But the proposed solution in the piece, it goes much broader than that.
It has to.
They need to unite with the marijuana industry and demand full federal legalization and decriminalization, but based on a whole new paradigm for all cannabis.
And that new paradigm, as it's outlined in the source, has three pretty clear, actionable points that really challenge the status quo.
Okay, what's the first one?
First, regulations must focus purely on consumer safety, not on generating fees. That means mandatory, standardized third-party lab testing across the board, safe manufacturing practices, and clear, honest labeling that is federally enforced.
Safety first, not fees. I like that.
Eh.
And the second.
Second, and this is crucial, end the barrier to entry.
The vaults, the high fees.
Strip away those ridiculous punitive security requirements and the sky-high licensing costs that keep small ethical businesses, farmers, and entrepreneurs out of the legal market.
The current system really does seem designed to favor consolidation by major corporations.
It absolutely is. If you remove the demand for vault security and those five-figure annual licenses, you create a genuinely free market, one that benefits the small business owner and ultimately the consumer.
And the third point is the simplest, but probably the most challenging politically.
It always is.
Treat cannabis like alcohol.
Precisely. The goal is to establish responsible age gating for those 21 and older and just common sense limitations on where it can be consumed or sold. The argument is simple.
It seems simple.
End the legal fiction that this plant requires a level of security, surveillance, and regulation beyond what we apply to far more dangerous legal substances, like hard liquor or highly addictive tobacco products.
Ultimately, the source is demanding a federal system that is free, fair, and based on the fact that the sky didn't fall when Americans started consuming cannabis safely. And that kind of reform, it requires these two fighting industries to stop competing and start collaborating, really for their own survival.
So to summarize this for you, what we're watching is a multi-billion-dollar federally legal hemp industry that's facing a one-year countdown to prohibition.
And it's because the hyper-regulated state legal cannabis industry shows regulatory jealousy over market unity.
Yeah. The core fight is over compliance costs
Now,
and who controls the market.
which raises an important question for you to consider. When one highly regulated industry attacks a less regulated but still legal competitor, is the goal truly public safety? Or is it fundamentally regulatory capture? Is it designed to protect high prices, high compliance burdens, and just massive barriers to entry for any newcomers?
This struggle really highlights how outdated regulations, ones that were initially imposed under the guise of these prohibition-era fears, can quickly become powerful tools for market consolidation.
Instead of being essential measures for consumer protection.
Right. It makes you wonder what kind of free market we truly want for cannabis and who really benefits most from all these excessive regulatory burdens. We encourage you to consider the economic and regulatory consequences of choosing, jealousy, not justice, in emerging industries.